Well, the roots material that you follow here in church, and I do quite a lot too, has a nice picture this week of the hen. There we go. The hen protecting the chicks under her wing, presumably in front of Jerusalem there. And that's this week's image to go with our readings. And it got me thinking about how animals do protect their young, because that's what hens do, isn't it? Hide the chicks under the wings to protect them. And while we've got the picture up there, I'll tell you, or remind you if you know, about how some other animals protect their young. Well, I watched a program recently about the kangaroos in Australia, and I'm sure you all know how kangaroos protect their young, because of course the mother kangaroo has the pouch, and the baby goes straight in there, very, very tiny, apparently, when they're born. And they live in that pouch for several weeks. And even when they're old and able to jump around, if anything worries them, they jump straight back in the pouch, however big they are. Poor mum, I thought, went carrying around these big young kangaroos. But that's the way they feel protected, sitting in her pouch. And then there's a frog. I don't know if you've seen this frog. It's the father frog, the dad that looks after the babies. And he keeps them in his mouth until they're able to jump. And he keeps quite a lot of them in his sort of a pouch under his mouth. And they're protected there until they can actually jump and flee danger themselves. Penguins you've probably seen. Mums and dads take turns there, don't they? They have the little chick on their feet, keeping warm under their fur, and waddle around with the chicks sitting there, keep them protected. And dolphins, apparently, mother dolphins, look after the babies in the slipstream, and they stay there for 3 years. So they're actually protected as the dolphin swims around in the slipstream. They're pulled along in the water, and they're protected in that way because they're kept close to the mother dolphin. And I was surprised that they do that actually for 3 years. And the last one I had, which reminded me of a cat, is the otter. And the mum and the dad and even big brothers and sisters carry the baby otters around in their mouths. You know how they carry, cats carry kittens by the scruff of the neck. And they do that with the otter babies to keep them protected and close by to the family as well. And it's all about protection, isn't it, with these little ones. When we're small and young, we need that protection. But at times we're all vulnerable and we feel we want protection. And the psalm that's been selected this week, Psalm 27, reminds us about that feeling of vulnerability and the protection that God can give us. So let's reflect on our readings today. If you enter into a binding agreement with someone, then it is something that cannot be easily broken. And that's why it was so important for Abraham to have a proper agreement with God, a covenant that could not be broken. He wanted to make sure that God was bound by honour to this covenant. And hence this ceremony, which may appear rather gruesome to us, cutting up animals and birds. But it was an important ritual for an Israelite. And the smoke and the flame that came afterwards were recognized, of course, as signs of God's presence. You remember that during the Exodus, the people followed either a pillar of cloud, smoke, or a pillar of fire. It was something visible that showed them the way to go. And God's covenant with Abraham led to the gift of land. Another important facet of Israel life, because land was kept in the family and handed down from generation to generation. Land was needed to sustain families, and what God gave Abraham was a huge tract of land. Abraham had been on a long journey with his family across the desert. He came from Ur, near the Persian Gulf, and went initially to Egypt and then over into Canaan. And God rewarded him there with three key gifts. There was not only the land, which was number one, but also God blessed him with children, as many descendants as the stars in the sky. So that was number two. And the third gift was God's protection. I'll read again to you from verse 1 of that reading, where God explains that he will protect Abraham. It says, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I will shield you from danger and give you great reward." And Abraham responded to God by putting his trust in God. Our God is a generous God. I wonder how he has blessed you and your family. Perhaps he has set you a task too, a challenge. But like Abraham, we need not fear, because he will bless us too. Lent is very much a time of reflection, a time to check in with God and make sure we are journeying in the right direction. And Jesus did just that. He took time out on his way to Jerusalem to be with his Father. He had a challenging journey. There were people who didn't like what he was doing. There was a mixed government of Romans and Hebrews, and a staunch Jewish tradition of lawmakers and priests. And yet he had friends too, followers and apostles. And even some Pharisees were on his side. And Luke tells us that they warned Jesus about Herod. Luke portrays Jesus very much as a prophet in the line of prophets. Jerusalem, he said, was the only place he could die. That fitted in with the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures that he knew so well. And yet Jesus shows a really sensitive, caring emotion in his love for Jerusalem. And let me read to you again from that reading in Luke, when he talks about the mother hen, verse 34. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times have I wanted to put my arms around all your people just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Let's have a look at one or two pictures of Jerusalem. Thank you, Tom. Here we go. Now, this is Jerusalem, present-day Jerusalem, but some parts of Jerusalem probably look very much like they do to us in Jesus' day, because this is coming over the way he would come to Jerusalem, over the hill and looking down at Jerusalem across the valley. Let's have a look at the next one. And here you can just see the road there leading around to the temple area. See the next one? And here's Jerusalem, very present day Jerusalem, with all these aerials. Not the kind of Jerusalem that Jesus would have seen, but again portraying such a population in Jerusalem that wants to be in communication. Have a look at the next one. And again, across the valley there, you can see the present-day Golden Dome. Of course, not there, but that was the site of the temple at the time of Jesus. The next one. Again, another view of Jerusalem, the many roofs and houses there. And one more, I think, have we got? That's it. So a very full Jerusalem, very full city as it was then. Thanks, Tom. And Jesus wanted to protect all those people in Jerusalem, but they rejected him. He felt rejected by his own people in Jerusalem. And yet his one wish was to protect and care for his people, like the mother hen cares for her chicks. And note how he calls, note how he calls Herod the fox. Faced with a fox, a hen will do anything to protect her chicks, even giving her own life for the sake of her children. And perhaps Luke here gives us a hint of what is going to happen at Jerusalem to Jesus. In order to protect his children, Jesus will be called to make the ultimate sacrifice, to go to the cross. And Jesus tells us we must all carry our cross. The Christian journey is not easy. We shall have troubles on the way. But our focus must be on Easter Sunday. Not the cross, but the empty tomb, the ultimate triumph. Are you doing anything special for Lent? Have you given anything up or taken anything on? There seem to be plenty of options nowadays. We've got around Broxbourne Lent courses and Lent talks, Lent lunches and Lent challenges. We've got the Christian Aid Count Your Blessings annual challenge. Perhaps you may want to go on a pilgrimage or a prayer walk, or you'd like to read a reflective book that takes you through Lent day by day. And I know there are several of those available. Of course, Lent used to be a time of study, culminating in baptism into the church at Easter. So it's a time when we need to think about where we are going. The Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu said, "A journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step." And as we are 10 days into Lent, presumably we have all taken our first step into our Lenten journey this year. And hopefully you've taken up one of those Lenten opportunities. I have a book here. This is about a pilgrimage, and it's called Walking the Story. I like the idea of pilgrimage. I like the idea of journeying towards Easter. And in this book, Jane tells us about the story that she walked across northern Spain. She says that the Christian way is a narrow way, and that's because Christians must focus on Jesus and not be distracted from the physical journey. Well, her pilgrimage was along the ancient pilgrim route that runs across from the Pyrenees in the east of Spain to the west of Spain, Santiago. And it's 500 miles in all. In fact, she walked the whole thing. It took about 6 to 7 weeks, I think. And if you're a pilgrim, it takes you past several religious landmarks, crosses and churches and monasteries that help you to reflect along the way. I think it would be a fantastic thing to do if you have the feet to do it and the time. Before the days of easy travel, pilgrims would also walk across France to get to this route in Spain. So presumably they would spend even more weeks on the pilgrim way. Well, Jane comments that Jesus too was a pilgrim, and he followed the physical road to Jerusalem as well as the spiritual way set out by his Father. Pilgrimage or journeying is a challenge for us all. It helps us to develop a discipline of life, an attentiveness to God that actually sets us free. And thinking about our readings today, I felt that the message we need to take from that is the question as to whether we are rejecting God in any way because we are not truly attentive. Many of the Jews whom Jesus wanted to reach rejected his teaching, and ultimately he went to the Gentiles, who were much more open to his word. But he didn't have an easy way. There were continuous arguments and struggles. And for Abraham, it wasn't easy either. One part of the scripture that was left out of our lectionary reading today is the bit when God tells Abraham that his descendants won't find the way easy either. The rewards will come, but only after many struggles. Neither Abraham or Jesus were put off by these difficulties. Both accepted the way of God, trusted in him, and ultimately received their rewards. And as we journey through Lent this year, may we take the time to examine ourselves and decide if we are fully open to the way God wants us to go, or if in fact we are hiding back in anything. If we can keep to the narrow way, then we will be showered with the blessings of a generous God.